We have the great privilege to hear from one of our deacons this evening. Brother June is going to preach for us in just a moment, and so I'm going to pray, ask the Lord to bless him as he preaches, and then I'll have you all be seated, and we'll hear from the Word of God this evening. Let's pray together. Lord, we do pray once again that you would bless this service. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak through Brother June, that you would allow him to open the Scriptures to give to us what you desire, and I pray that you would please enlighten our hearts, help us to apply what we hear to our lives, to be more Christ-like in everything that we do. And Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother June.
Oh, I don't need to do anything. It's already on. Okay. Well, I'm glad that Pastor and Brother William with their wives made it home all right. It is really honor and privilege to stand behind the pulpit. And just the song we just sang, you know, how can I ever thank my Lord enough that what he has done for me? I mean, he has done such a great, he's been giving us great blessings. Well, this evening, if you'll turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Very familiar passage, and I know that you've heard many preachers preach from this particular passage. And once again, I'd like to hit it. Here in verse 35, chapter 9, verse 35. And here it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep, having no shepherd. And he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborer into his harvest. Father, I pray tonight that you would be with me, and I pray that you would use this message. And I pray that the people will be attentive, and I pray that you'll just stir our hearts and as this message is brought forth, and I pray the lives will be changed for your honor and glory. Jesus, in my prayer. Amen. Here what you see is that in verse 1, when he entered the Jesus, that is, into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, that is Capernaum. And he began to do various different wonderful miracles. And it comes to this passage, and it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogue, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved. He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and it was scattered abroad as sheep having no sheep. In other words, when he saw these multitudes without a shepherd, they were they were on their way to hell. And he saw that, and he was moved. And hell is a place that Jesus warned oftentimes that we should avoid at all cost. Here in Mark chapter 9, verse 43, it says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And again he says, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And again he says, and if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into the hellfire. So in other words, Jesus is telling you this, saying to us that it is better to go through the pain of plucking your eyes out, cutting your hands off. It is better than to end up in hell. Hell is a place of utter darkness, and hell is a place where fire is never quenched. And when Jesus came, and when Jesus went to prayer, he asked God the Father in chapter 22, verse 42. You find this. You know, he said, you know, Jesus, you know, I asked Father to remove the cup from him. But nevertheless, he says, thy will be done. Then you'll find in verse 44, Luke 22, he was in such an agony praying about this matter that he must face. And he was praying so earnestly, so fervently, he was sweating blood. Hell. What kind of place is that? This it is, you know, it is such a horrible place that God warns against it. And here is Jesus praying, dripping blood, sweat of blood. And I want to illustrate a little bit about what it is. First of all, where is hell? Where is heaven? Where is hell? Down on earth. The core. Center of the earth. Temperature of the core of earth is 10,000 degrees in average. So, how hot is that? So I'm going to do some little bit of a temperature comparing so that we can get an idea how hot that is. Surface of the sun is also about 10,000 degrees. And it's been said that if you projectile an item towards the sun, they said that it'll never reach the sun. It'll disintegrate before it reaches the sun. And as a lighting torch, the world is used that cut and weld metal is approximately 6,000 degrees. That is hot enough to cut or weld any piece of steel. My job, but no, that is an intense, extreme heat. And my job, because of what I do, I have to go through various different awareness classes every year. I have to go through this training. Arc flash, that is electrical fire. Hazardous material handling, which I handle, hazardous material all the time. Confined space entry and rescue. Fall hazard, CPA. Fire awareness and prevention. I have to go through all that every year. And one particular year, that fire awareness prevention training, it was done by local fire department. And they went through various different videos showing us that what fire can do. And it is also necessary that, or recommended, that you practice fire you know, evacuation procedures at your home. And they show up, you know, every item has a flash point. When each item, when it reaches a certain temperature, it catches on fire. And they show us in this big, they call it a firehouse, enclosed. And they put the couch inside, and they raise the temperature slowly. 600, 700, I forget the exact temperature, but 700 something. Without any lit fire, that couch is just poof, it caught on fire. And he also said that during a fire, most often they find a fire victim right by the window. Because out of a confusion and with the chaos that takes place, they don't know where they are. And they die right there. And one of the things that really caught my attention is this. They said, fire victims, they do not die because they got burned to crisp or anything like that. They die because of the heat. And they said this. I'll never forget it. It's been over many years ago. They said your internal human organs shuts down at 150 degrees. And I said, whoa. How hard is the hell? 10,000 degrees. And your organs shuts down at 150? That's extreme. That's extreme. See, Jesus told about this rich man. This is a true story. All of you are familiar with that. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was buried by the angel into the Abraham's bosom. Rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, that is rich man, he lift up his eyes, being tormented, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And he sent Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, I don't know how long this rich man in hell when Jesus told about account of this rich man. You know what? Since Jesus told account of this story, it's been some 2,000 years, and he's still there. And he's going to continue to be there for eternity. Hell. In torment, in hell. He, that is Jesus, was moved. That is, Jesus was emotionally stirred with the compassion on them. The compassion is a deep awareness of the suffering for another coupled with wish to relieve it. Relieving that he did. God knew that man could never attain heaven on his own, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for God, God made provision in our life. For God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is his will. This past Saturday, my wife and I visited forgive me, I'm not good at pronouncing names. Jocelyn Carter. It's okay. My wife will correct me later on. This is how you say it. Anyways, we visited Jocelyn Carter Saturday at the group home in Hagerstown. And a caretaker, Abby, came to the door, and she came outside. So we chatted a little bit. And I said, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Of course, she says, yes. Typical lost person's answer. I said, well, first I asked, so how is that? And she says, well, because I'm a good person. Way to heaven is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, Titus 3:5. For all our righteousness are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. And Jesus, emphatically, I believe that he says, I am the way, the truth. And often there's so many people that thinks that just because you're a good person, you're gonna go to heaven. And ironic part about it is, if you were to allow some strangers to live in your house, I can guarantee it, you are going to have a list of rules that stranger have to abide by. I know I would. But there are so many people without ever finding out what God has to say about his requirement for any individual to come to, attain heaven. They automatically, presumptuously assume, I'm going. That's not happening. It's not happening. And Jesus, he says, repents. He said, you need to repent. Repent of what? It's not by our good works. Because our good works is filthy. What you need to repent is that your self-righteousness, and turn to Jesus to save you from hell. See, Jesus, out of compassion, willingly died upon a cross for our sins. And was buried and rose again the third day, according to Scripture, that we might have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is understand that you are a sinner on your way to go, on your way to hell. And God made provision that it's Jesus Christ. And that is the eternal, a gift of eternal life from God to you through Jesus Christ. And it is must that you accept this free gift to go to heaven. For the wages of sin is death, but thank God, gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. So my wife and I, I shared the gospel with Abby and asked her if she was a sinner. She said yes. And I asked her if she believed that Jesus died upon the cross for your sin and was buried and rose again the third day. And she said yes. And I said, Romans 10:9 is a promise to all mankind. It's a promise. And I explained to her, it says in Romans 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise. And then we told Abby that it is a must that she reach forth with the unseen hand of faith and receive Jesus as your personal Savior. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So, ask Abby, she'll be willing to accept Jesus Christ. And she said yes. And she got saved. She got saved. Secondly, harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. There are many saints of God that thinks that there are plenty of time left to go soul winning or share the gospel with the lost or simply not willing to do so. And in John chapter 4, verse 35, you know, Jesus says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Before I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the field, for there are white already the harvest. And I didn't quite get that, so I called this pastor friend of mine. He grew up in a farm, and I asked him. I says, well, "What is it Jesus, you know, indicating here?" And he said, "When the wheat gets brown and getting ready to be harvested. And when the sun hits that wheat, it looks all white." And he said, at that point, you need to get out there and harvest that. And he said, if you wait too long, when a combine hits that wheat, some will fall to ground and goes to waste. And right away, it hit me. There are so many people that is out there that is ready to be picked. But yet, because of our lack of willingness in our life to be out there busy about witnessing, trying to lead someone to the Lord, and I often wonder as to how many slipped into eternity because of our lack into hell. You see, Jesus said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And you know, it's going to be too late for some of us, a lot of us. The thing about it is that there are an average of 3 million people dies every year. That's just in the U.S. I'm not talking about United States on average. And the data for the 2023 was 3,090,964. Now, I'm not just making it up. I got this from CDC just yesterday. You know, that comes to 8,468 people dies per day. And that comes to 353 people dies per hour. And an average 6 person per minute dies. That means that every 10 seconds somebody dies. Every 10 seconds. March 1980. The reason I know that year and the month is because 1980, January, that's when my wife and I, we both got saved. And this incident took place at General Motors in Livonia, Michigan. And the skilled trades, they usually travel in pairs. And preventive maintenance is done during midnight shift. And there was this steam line, about 30, 35 feet above. There was a leak in it. And one night, these two pipe fitters were assigned to repair that. And it depends on where there's a catwalk. And you know, for this one, there was a catwalk. So they got up there. One of the pipemen went up ahead to shut off the gate valve. You know, other ones stay behind, taking off the nuts and bolts to the flange. Well, that flange burst open, and that pipe filler received the steam right here in his chest. And they rushed him to the hospital, and halfway to the hospital, this pipe began to, from what I understand, it began to scream and begging for somebody to help him. And it hurts. Somebody help me. Help me. And once they got to the hospital, and you know, being skilled trade, we wear one-piece coverall. You know, they didn't want to disturb him, to, you know, roll him around or anything. So what they did was they cut the coverall on the side. And when they took the coverall front and began to pull the coverall off, they said that the skin stuck to the coverall, and the skin just peeled right off. At that plant, pressure is 50 pounds. At the 50 pounds, the temperature of the steam is about 300 degrees. And that man, from what I understand, is that he screamed so hard that they could hear him in second floor. At the dawn, everything went silent. Everything went silent. He passed on to eternity. And I often wonder if that he was ever saved. I often wonder that if anybody ever witnessed to him. And here it is, man dies receiving about 300 degrees of steam upon his chest. He died. And your internal organ shuts down to 150. If you're not saved, you are going to spend eternity in hell in 10,000 degrees in agony continuously. James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? This happened suddenly. He did not expect this to happen, nor his family. He was in mid-30s. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Your life is very short. You may think that you have a tomorrow. No, you don't. No, you don't. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, and it says this, for he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted. And in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. You don't have tomorrow. Salvation is now, today. Thirdly, pray therefore the Lord of harvest. And he will send forth laborer into his harvest. And when it comes to prayer, it becomes more personal when you know the person you're praying for. Furthermore, the prayer becomes more urgent if the person is your loved one. And when prayer request is made, request is that you make it personal and an urgent matter in your life. Jesus said, pray ye therefore. In other words, make it personal and urgent matter in your life, that he will send forth laborer into his harvest. In other words, how about you? How about you? Apostle Paul became all things to all men. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, that says this, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21. To them are without law, as without a law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, and I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And Jesus was also all things to all men. See, Christ was a home missionary in the house of Lazarus. Christ was foreign missionary when Greeks came to him. And Christ was city missionary when he taught in Samaria. Christ was Sunday school missionary when he opened up the scripture and set men to study the word of God. Christ was a children's ministry when he took them in his arms and blessed them. Christ was a missionary to the poor when he opened the eyes of the beggar. And Christ was a missionary to the rich when he opened the spiritual eyes of Zacchaeus. Even on the cross, Christ was a missionary to the robber. And his last command was a missionary command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There are people that needs to be reached. And here we are, the saints of God, vast majority of us just sitting back and doing nothing. It is imperative that we get busy. Let's pray. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I got to ask this. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if there's anyone here tonight with uplifted hand and say, Brother June, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I know this is Wednesday night cloud, but you know, you never know. You see, because I was in Bible conference in 2024, in February, in Payson, Arizona. 4-day Bible conference. 4 preachers each day. 16 preachers. And one of the preachers, he's been pastoring in Utah for 16 years. And that day, his wife got saved. And that place, he just erupted in giving thanks and praising God. Look, just because you've been a member for so many years what are the people going to think about? No, you don't worry about stuff like that. One of the important decisions, that is the important decision that you could ever make, is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I wonder if there's anybody like that. I'll pray for you. All right. Father, as we look at the world, the harvest truly is plenteous. Not just the world, but even here in Martinsburg, oh, Father, there is a much, much need of a laborer. Oh, without a doubt, all over the world, Africa, the pastor just came from there, China, India, Japan, the laborers are needed. And I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that move our hearts, to stir our hearts, that we would have compassion on lost souls and surrender our life for the cause of the gospel. And to lead people to the Lord, that there will be much joy and shouting in heaven, Father. I pray that you just continue to have your way in our life, and that through our life we'll be careful to give you the honor you so deserve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.